Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
And here it is. The 37-year wait is over. American Pharoah is finally the one. American Pharoah has won the Triple Crown.
American Pharoah, the three-year-old thoroughbred with a misspelled name, ridden by Victor Espinoza, ending the long Triple Crown drought last year. He swept the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont, the first horse to do that since Affirmed in 1978. Joe Drape covers horse racing for the New York Times, and he tells the story of this magnificent animal in his new book, American Pharoah, The Untold Story of the Triple Crown Winner's Legendary Rise. It takes us behind the scenes with jockey Espinoza, owner Ahmed Zayat, trainer Bob Baffert, and of course, Pharoah. Joe is at WFPL in Louisville, where the 142nd Kentucky Derby will be run at Churchill Downs tomorrow. Joe, start with a broad thought. What did you want to tell people about American Pharoah that might not have been known?
I wanted people to know that there was a lot of magic, a lot of luck, and a lot of hands touched him, that he didn't just show up this great specimen, and everybody he passed through, he touched in very profound ways. So, you know, as silly as it sounds, it's a biography of a horse, but what he did to the people around him.
Well, including, for instance, Frances Relihan, who was a young woman who met American Pharoah when he was pretty much just born.
Frances was the farm manager at the Vinery, and she got him when he was about 3 or 4 months old. And, you know, she's seen tens of thousands of horses. And one night she was out on her evening jog, and he was out in the field bucking around, swirling, and then boom, he took off what she said like a cannon, and it stopped her dead in the tracks. And she noticed just sort of the perfect fluid motion he had. And it was something that she had not seen ever. And she did something she had never done before. She picked up the phone and she called Mr. Zayat, the owner of the horse, Ahmed Zayat, and said, "You got something special here. Good luck with it."
And then she shows up later attending the races that she had prophesied, you know, when he wins the Triple Crown. And all along the way, Joe Drape, we have to say, you take us inside the industry, you take us to the mating, you know, of horses. You know, we see how it all works, but we hear your gorgeous language. So hundreds of horses crossing grounds, their hooves beating out a rhythm on the soft grass, sounding like a symphony of sleepy heads gratefully hitting their pillows one after another. That is exactly what galloping horses on grass sound like.
Thanks, Robin. And you mentioned the breeding shed. And really, this is the first and probably the last time I've ever been able to open a project with a sex scene. And that's why I went for it.
Well, there's that. And taking us deeper into the business, the big business of animals. Give us just an overview of it. Big money. Horse trading, lots of horse trading, lots of guessing. Do we hold on to this horse? Is this going to be the Triple Crown winner? Or do we sell this horse now to make the money we need?
All of horse racing is about money. They are worth millions of dollars. In fact, this morning at breakfast, while you and I were having breakfast, Robin, American Pharoah met a mare, had a short assignation with him, and was paid $200,000.
Oh, boy. American Pharoah was studly anyway as a racer, and now he is literally a stud.
Right. Zayat, at the time American Pharoah came into his world, his stables were bankrupt. He had this horse that all his advisors said was the perfect specimen. And they said, "Man, don't sell this horse. Sell your house. Sell a kid." But he needed the money, so he sent him up to Saratoga for the sale. And then a stroke of what was then misfortune, and subsequently I'd say was fortune, happened. On the van to the way to the sale, he banged his ankle and got a big swollen ankle and an ugly cut.
American Pharoah did, yeah.
Yeah, American Pharoah. And so he comes out. They think he's damaged goods. He has to buy back the horse. Instead of the $3 million he wanted, he has to buy back the horse for $30,000. So, you know, the golden rule is always take the suitcase full of cash. And in this case, if there was a suitcase full, that Triple Crown winner would have been in somebody else's barn.
Just a little bit more on Ahmed Zayat. As you say, sometimes the horse owners don't want to get into the limelight because then people get into their lives. And his was complicated. You talked about the bankruptcy. He was known as a slow payer when it came to paying trainers. Had some connections to gamblers who got in trouble with the law. was possibly Jewish, but selling beer, making his money selling beer to Muslims, so didn't want people to know that, you know, that he was Jewish. You know, it got complicated.
He is an Orthodox, devout Jew, but he did make his fortune selling beer to the Muslims in the Mideast. He's a gambler. The guy was a larger-than-life figure anyway. At the same time, he loves the game. He shared this horse and ran him after he won the Triple Crown when he didn't have to. I've been in rooms with him where he's wanted to squeeze my cheek and tell me how great I was, and then 30 seconds later just airing me out with some profanity. He's just one of those guys.
Well, then there's Bob Baffert, the trainer. People might know his image, the sunglasses, the shock of white hair, kind of a showman himself, but obviously an exquisite trainer. And then the jockey, Victor Espinoza, came from Mexico, lived in a tack room, had no money, and as he's heading towards the Triple Crown himself, he's donating hundreds of thousands of dollars to daycare centers for the children of the workers at these different horse enterprises. What an American success story.
He really is. And he was the accidental jockey. He didn't really like horses, was afraid of them. But he was one of 10 kids in Mexico, and he needed a better life. There was a farm. They took him in. He learned his craft. 2002, he and Baffert teamed up with War Emblem, won 2/3 of the Triple Crown. But as the racetrack goes, he and Bob had a little bit of a falling out. And he wasn't even the first choice or the second choice to ride American Pharoah. Bob Baffert goes to Gary Stevens. Gary's getting his knees replaced. He goes to another Hall of Famer, Mike Smith. He's already got commitments. Goes one more to Rafael Bejarano. He's doing something else. But he remembers that War Emblem was a really tough horse. In fact, he calls it the most savage horse that he'd ever been around. And somehow, Victor got along with him. So he swallowed his pride, picked up the phone, and he calls Victor Espinoza. And Victor is right at the place at this time, much like Baffert. They were both sort of having this midlife crisis. They were trying to figure out who they really wanted to be and what was important. And, you know, that's, again, how American Pharoah does change these guys, you know. Victor learned to accept the horse. Bob Baffert almost had a fatal heart attack in Dubai in 2012. He has an 11-year-old son. He lost his parents. He had some trouble off the track. Some horses died under his care, and there was an investigation. He's trying to find balance in his life. And American Pharoah focuses all the craft and all the experience he had over 40 years of doing this. And, you know, he told me many times, he said, if I get this horse a year ago, I screw it up. If I get him 5 years ago, I don't know what I'm doing. He came at a time when everything was clicking for me and my head was in the right place.
Yeah. The horse. You know, we have talked to you in the past about the dark side of horse racing, performance-enhancing drugs, drugs that mask injuries, horses that shouldn't be running, horses dying at the track. But then you also describe American Pharoah as the kind of horse you've talked to us about that sort of balances for you those criticisms, a horse that seemed born to run. He's not being forced out there. In fact, sometimes they have to hold him back. Tell us about this horse.
When American Pharoah was running and when he was at Belmont, it was just a transcendent achievement. It was beautiful. His ears were pricked forward the whole time. He loved what he was doing, and he was excellent at it. And, you know, I've never been in a place in a sporting event like I was that afternoon at Belmont.
Well, here's what you wrote. Espinoza felt the colt uncoil and spring forward, and within two jumps they had catapulted ahead of his seven rivals and glided into the first turn like a marble circling a roulette wheel. Espinoza knew the race was over then. Beneath him, a horse he barely recognized, one with a new depth of power. American Pharoah was hitting the ground as if he were walking in clouds, stretching as supplely as a yogi. Joe Drape's new book is about American Pharoah, the untold story of the Triple Crown winner's legendary rise. And, Joe, I suppose we should ask before you go, who are you liking in the Derby tomorrow?
Nyquist is good, and the ones below him have all sort of had their moments, and nobody's really established themselves. But we've had three straight Derbies where the favorite won. That never happens. There's not going to be a fourth. Pick a name, pick a color, take a shot. I think somebody like Animal Kingdom at 25-1 or Mind That Bird at 50-1. I think something like that's going to happen.
But you're not seeing an American Pharoah out there.
No, I don't think. I think we waited 37 years for a reason, and we're going to have to wait longer for the next one to come through.
Joe Drape, thanks as always.
Robin, always a pleasure.